Right now, he's in the process of building the top part of the spacecraft, really, which is what he calls the Starship. It's the test version. Looks like it's around 150 feet high or so. And he's going to put three engines on the bottom of it. And it's the bottom, the diameter is going to be 30 feet. The Falcon 9 that he flies now is 12 feet, so it gives you an idea of the size of this thing. He wants to fly this down in Texas. It's not going to go to orbit at the beginning. He wants to test to see if he can take off, fly, and then land. Take off vertically, land vertically. He's got this thing built out of stainless steel. I believe it's going to go with carbon and epoxy structure, like he did with parts of the Falcon 9. Seems to have abandoned that, and he's going to go with stainless steel. He's got it built. I mean, it looks like something out of a Flash Gordon type of rocket. You know, when it's sitting there. Got three fins sticking out, sitting on the ground, and then there's legs on the fins. These fins are going to be like wings. And this whole 150-foot thing will eventually sit on top of the super heavy booster that isn't really built yet. But he wants to be able to see if he can fly this thing. Come back and land, because essentially this would be a second stage of the bigger rocket. Bigger rocket launch pad, back water. Fly around 500 meters and come back and land vertically. If those test codes are successful, he'll eventually work that up higher and higher, up to around 5,000 meters, and eventually come back. He had a program similar to this in McGregor, Texas, when he was first developing the Falcon 9. Eventually land the booster back vertically, which of course has been successful about 50 different times now. But in the beginning, he had something called a grasshopper. So it was set up similar to this, and it would fly and then come back and land vertically. He started with that, and then he actually built the Falcon 9 rocket and did the same thing. Drop it. Took off with this booster with 9 rockets on the bottom of it, and took off, and eventually got it up higher and higher. He got a couple of flights out of it, and eventually he comes down and land vertically. And he called it the Falcon 9R for reusability. I think I'm around the second or third, maybe third flight with this thing. He lost control of it, and they decided to detonate it to make sure it won't come down to a populated area. So it blew up in the atmosphere. And then after that, he didn't rebuild the Falcon 9R. He just started testing on real flights. He would launch a satellite from Cape Canaveral. It would take off. He would eventually try to land it on these drone ships, which he succeeded. And eventually he started bringing it back to Cape Canaveral and land on a landing pad there as well. Call that landing zone. One used to be a launch complex. So he succeeded at that. But now he plans on doing the same thing with this rocket. And he calls it the Hopper. This thing's called Star Hopper. And he plans on testing this thing within like a month or two. I guess he's going to need NASA to be open, because probably going to need support from them, I would think. But they say not necessarily. But he thinks he probably will do this within, he says a month. I'm going to go with 2 months, the way things go. He'll do his first test, which should be interesting. See this massive thing take off and come back and land vertically. He thinks he can do it. He's done it with Falcon 9. Thinks, why not? This is just a scaled-up version. The difference will be the rockets themselves. These are much more powerful rockets developing on the Falcon 9. He has what they call the Merlin engine, and each developed around a little over 200,000 pounds of thrust. So collectively, when it launches a Falcon 9 rocket, it's around 2.1, 2.2 million pounds of thrust. This thing, by the time you're done, with the super heavy version of it, it'll probably be, you know, anywhere much more powerful than the rocket Saturn V and launch people to the moon. 7.5 million pounds of thrust. The setup size gets off the ground eventually. But right now, this is just eventually the top part of it. Able to bring both pieces back to land, in fact, which isn't even developed yet. It's also going to have a 30, couple hundred feet high. That's got to be able to land back on land. And then the second piece is really the equivalent of a second stage. And you need to eventually deorbit this thing from 17,500 miles an hour, and even faster if he's coming back from Mars. He's got to be coming, you know, slow down from 25,000 miles per hour, and eventually lead off that speed, and then have this thing land vertically. That's going to be some engineering feat. That's going to be the hard part. I think he'll nail this, taking off vertically and landing vertically. But otherwise, I think he's going to have a problem. Re-entering the atmosphere at speed with this type of vehicle. You know, I know the shuttle did it many, many times. Unfortunately, one time it was unsuccessful when STS-107 didn't make it. Parked up a couple hundred thousand feet above the ground. So, that's the story on that. I talked about Hubble last week having problems the week before. That shut down. They had seen large voltages on the wide field camera, the wide field camera number three, because that's the third camera setup that's been installed on Hubble. Originally went up with wide field planetary one. That was the one that was the optics that were on right and on Earth, and corrected all of that by installing wide field planetary camera number two. And that's nine. Final crew astronauts went up to service the Hubble for the fifth and last. All wide field planetary anymore. They call wide field camera about the size of a gram. Take the old one out, and the whole wide's out of the Hubble. And this whole thing working fine all these years. Almost that. Regular averages come back from those high voltages and figure out what it was. And it was software, it was just hardware. Power supply, and they check everything out. Supply. They do have redundancies with the Mars wide field camera cabin software. Got some results back that they were out of supply. So all of that, a couple of days, and Hubble is back in operational planetary camera, that number two that was put in, back to normal, and now it's doing that. So shut down, did not Hubble mission because that's. Launches and that star promontory guitar segment on it, which means Mars, wherever you are on board.
Phone or topics, it's top, and I've already activated links for all the articles, and there's a whole forum of people discussing those Zenik waves that I have a link to, and that's at roy.ac2gs.com. So until next week, guys, have a great week, and 73. This is AC2GS.
Give me a couple of quick words, Roy. What are Zenik waves?
Okay. Zenik waves are primarily theoretical in basis. They're equations. They are waves that occur on the interface of two dissimilar structures. In this case, the air and the ground. And the concept is by constricting the transmission to a two-dimensional surface, who get away with murder as far as the inverse square law holds. Again, all rather theoretical. The equations, as far as I'm aware, have never actually been proven in laboratory experiments. They make pretty equations, but that's as far as I've seen it personally. But other people differ in this opinion.
So the motivation is they make the inverse square law go away. That's a good trick. Thank you. Bye-bye for now. K2LAW clear.
Great net tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. AC2LR.
Thank you, WA2MHL Bob.
Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system. tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the WQVL repeater.
But it's a whopping 7. It's been floating between a whopping 7 and 8 degrees up over here.
Yeah, probably the same here. They said it's going to be the coldest of the year today.
Well, they say that now, but in 2 weeks, they could be saying this was the heat wave. Not much of the heat. Not, but we haven't had much of the year yet.
As up to now, it's been a good winter. I always like because I like seeing the baby birds hatch eggs and feed their young. It's a very nice time of the year.
A little bit brisk. Oh, man. At least the sun's out.
I'm glad. says it'll be a lot colder. You know, I've been threatening to buy a bird feeder. I just don't want the squirrels and raccoons getting in there. So what I may do is buy a piece of fishing line. I don't think they could get it down to that.
The squirrels are pretty frisky, but I'm sure there's some way you can figure it out. Design of the bird feeder, too. May not make it good for them to get close to it, but let's see what happens. Got an imagination? I'm sure you can think of something.
Yes, I do, Steve. We have an awning, fiberglass awning over the patio. Behind it, right in between, halfway between the house and halfway between where they can get in, I think that'll solve the problem.
So now that I think about it, if you put it on instead of a wooden pole but a metal pole, I don't think they'd be able to climb that.
Why not?
Well, if you put metal pipe in, I don't think their claws can dig into the metal pipe to give them a way of getting up it.
Yeah, that could be. That could very well be, Steve. Thank you. I love the birds. We have, in the backyard, we have a bird bath. And I love watching them.
This, you just reminded me of a funny commercial, Rich.
Yes?
I don't know if you've caught it on TV lately. There's an eyeglass commercial with an owl in a bird bath.
Okay, very good. Speaking of eyeglasses, today I want to contact very close an optometrist because Dick, KQRIW, said to me, even with cataracts, I can improve my vision.
Oh, that's true. And it depends on, it depends on how far along it is. Anyway, good luck with it. And are you trying to find somebody in the neighborhood? You got your computer, didn't you?
Yes, you forgot. Yes, I did. You know, I took the side panel off. There's no dirt, no grime. And outside and inside, it looks like brand new. You can't tell it from new.
Okay. No, I was going to say that should make it a little bit easier for you to do research.
Yes, that's correct. If I want an optometrist, I'll have to put in optometrist and my zip code. I do that with everything.
As long as it works. I love holidays.
What about holidays? Today is Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, I know. The roads are virtually empty.
Well, that's good for you. You know, somebody said to me, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Martin Luther King Day is the only day we have for civilians.
Yeah. Will you excuse me for a minute, Rich? I have a phone call. I'll be right back. WBGSE.
Okay, Steve. M2BO.
Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
Are you back, Steve? WB2VSH?